Okay, little show of hands, who has designed PCBs before? Okay, who has worked or used Python? And who has done both? Okay. So this shows the usual design process for PCBs. You start making a schematic. You look around for components you want to use. For some, there's just a few, if you have a specific one in mind. For others, like resistors, there's tons, and you have a huge list that you want to cut down some in some way. And you usually do this with experience. You have some way you want a specific manufacturer, or you want to check what's available. And you do this the way you want, and it's not written down anywhere, it's not documented. It's just something you do. You have these data sheets with a lot of information in there that you have to parse. And then you design a schematic. This schematic you can then turn into a netlist. And this netlist you use to decide in your PCB where all the components go, how they're connected, the routing, and the placement. And then you generate a bunch of output files, like Gerber's, the bill of materials, for pick and placing where stuff goes. You send that off to a manufacturer, and the manufacturer sends you back a physical PCB that you either you solder it yourself, or the manufacturer does it for you. And you also want to be able to test it, both during the development process and in production. And usually you'll have to do this process kind of multiple times because you notice something isn't quite working. And while here it's shown as like this sequence, it's not really not. You can, when you're laying out a routing, you can go back and adjust your schematic if any need comes up. And during that whole process, there's stuff that isn't written down anywhere. You have these files, and a lot of it is also in your head and from experience. So imagine another way. You could instead write code, run that code, and get out the files you need. You could, if your design isn't quite finished, you could use an existing KiCad program to finish it, and then you have your PCB. This idea is quite common. There's a bunch of projects trying to achieve that. Often they're inspired from software development. In software development, you often try to create abstractions and have reusable modules. And it kind of also structures your way of thinking. And for example, if you do a review of some code, you don't need to understand everything. You have clear borders between abstractions, and you can understand a whole system partially, and it changes the way you think about stuff. In software, it's very flexible. You can remove and automate repetitive workflows. In the software, you have a loop. Loop can do the same thing a million times without you doing anything. If you use software for designing PCBs, it's just code. You can do all the calculations you want in code. You don't need to do it yourself, you don't need to do it manually. You don't need to do Excel sheets. And if you've written the code once, you can run it again. It's common to use libraries when doing software, and you reuse those, you use libraries other people have written, especially if you have a healthy open source ecosystem, and there is a lot of open source software. If you do PCB design using code, you can reuse all the tools you use for writing code. You can have your favorite editor. You can use its live share functionality to collaboratively design whatever you want with other people. You can have these modern code assistants helping you out. And also very important, you can use version control, use Git. And if you do PCB design with code, you can use all the same tools. You don't need additional ones. You just have GitHub if you want. You can do a review there of a pull request. You can have multiple branches. You can have multiple people interacting and developing on the same project. I'm personally not disabled. If you have some setup where you can write code, well, if you're blind or something, some of that might transfer to PCB design. I don't know. Also, if you do PCB design in software, all the data you kind of put in the system is available to you. If you write yourself a tool, you're staying in the same domain. And say you want to use also some data in your firmware, you can could easily, relatively easy, export that. This is an example just showing that code assistants do understand something about electronics and will suggest things to you. As I said, it's not a new idea to do this. For example, there is JITx, which is a Silicon Valley startup. They mostly focus on big customers, and they have a custom language for defining PCBs. And all in all, it is not very easy to get your hands on that. You can request access to the system. It's closed source. And very hard to get access to. They have a sleek website showing that you can do allegedly very cool stuff. You can do electronics rules checking. They can optimize things for you, like pin assignments and so on. And it also utilities for doing auto layout and routing. In contrast to that, Skiddle is an open source project. It's kind of a pioneer of this idea. And it uses Python. It's MIT licensed. And it's been going on for quite a while. It seems to be kind of low level. You use kind of define the netlist via Python. And it's not really rethinking the whole electronics design process. You can also do electric rules checking. It has some support for hierarchy, so you can basically have subsheets. It has infrastructure for you to automate picking of components. And it can also, and this is kind of nice, generate, while you have code, also generate visual schematics and export to KiCad schematics. There is also TS circuit, which is aimed at being very beginner-friendly and kind of like for people who know web development, which is why it uses TypeScript and has a React kind of approach. It's open source also, and It has nice things like a real-time preview and some support for automating routing. There is also Atopile, which is another startup, but they're open source. They try to be beginner-friendly by having a relatively simple, easy-to-learn language. If you're an electrical engineer and you don't know how to code much, it's probably very easy to pick up. And it does have a nice community around it. And you, if you use a custom language, you get some niceties, like having first-class support for units and tolerances, like you just do plus minus 10%. That's very nice. And they also have some plugins, for example, for VS Code to make stuff easier. You can also do math, and you can do asserts, and they have some ability to visualize things. There was a nice talk at this year's Gulasch Programmiernacht that you can check out by Kitty. And we're finally coming to Fabric, which is a Python library, open source, and it has kind of large goals. It tries to kind of rethink the whole electronics design approach, and is very powerful. It still is Python, so at least the language should be kind of easy to pick up. And by being written in Python, it also can make use of the whole Python ecosystem of packages. For example, there's a library for doing units, and Fabric can just use that instead of having to write it themselves. It has an approach where you want to start abstract in your design and then continually refine it and add more information to your design, make it more and more specific. And you try to state the problem abstractly and then give Fabric all the information, so as much as possible the solution is chosen by the system, and you do so you have to do less yourself. And recently, because it is kind of a good fit with Atopile being easy to pick up and Fabric being very powerful, the two projects are merging, and then you can choose, do you want to use the easy-to-learn language? Do you need all the power of the Python interface? And it's, yeah, best of both worlds. In the rest of the talk, I'll show examples using the Python Fabric interface. Oops, okay, yeah. Let's hope that wasn't important. Okay. So this is kind of the absolute minimum example. It's just Python, so you can import whatever functionality you want. Then you import Fabric stuff. The F thing is like the library where all the reusable components are in. And here we have a app class that inherits from a Fabric module. And Fabric module is kind of a hierarchical thing where you can put in components, you can define interfaces, you can define parameters the module has, and you can attach traits to it, which happens in this pre-init construction method. And by inheriting from Fabric module, you get kind of a magic syntax. Usually in Python, if you do this resistor thingy, it would mean a class property. But here, Fabric makes sure that every instantiation of the class gets a resistor. And here, you wouldn't really do it this way normally. But I'm showing it as an example of how to use traits. We attach a footprint to the resistor. If we want a PCB design at some point, we need to have footprints. So traits are like a snippet of behavior that you want to be able to attach to Fabric objects. And Python is a very dynamic language. You can kind of just arbitrarily add methods and properties to objects, but we need to do it in a structured way where Fabric is aware of it. So we have our own syntax for that. Here, the can attach to footprint symmetrically is an implementation of a trait, of the can attach to footprint trait. For a resistor, it really doesn't matter. A resistor is symmetric. It doesn't matter if you turn it around. So we say, oh, it's identical. And then we attach, call the attach function on and the newly added implementation and attach a footprint there. So now the system knows if we connect something, it will connect to some of the pins, and the other pin in the resistor is also matched. Okay, so down here I have some boilerplate code. You don't need that. I'm just having it here to show you what internally happens and what stages you can have and what you can do. And this takes care of generating all the files. So let's extend the example slightly. Of course, you want to be able to connect your components. So now we have two resistors. We call the connect function on it. And this again does the same as before. And we can do this with an arbitrary number of resistors. Here we define a list of 10, and as we are just in Python, we can have a for loop and have it do all the connections without us having to do it. And since this is still kind of annoying, there is also a special function for that, connect via. He was saying first resistor, connect to the last one via all the intermediate ones. And this is generic, so it doesn't need to know anything about resistors specifically. There's a trait, and it checks if this trait exists, and then it can bridge stuff. Oops, gotta go up. Okay. I also wanted to show how modules work, because you want to structure units together. And this is why there's a my module. As I said previously, modules can have interfaces which are define how you connect to them. So you have some defined way to do it externally. In this example, we just connect the resistors again. And then we can also, in the app, we use the same syntax as before. define a my module. Now it's nested, and then we can connect as before. So the thing I was doing before, attaching footprints, was fine for a little example, and it's fine for routing, but I mean, I want actually to choose components for resistors, and this example shows that. And if I want to automate the component picking in any way, I need to add extra information. So, yeah, Fabric can choose components. So here we are merging, here we are specifying resistance values with some tolerance, and we can do different ones. And this is also an example of how what parameters work, because this is a parameter, and we make it more specific by merging in those values. And then if we scroll, down. We can write a pick resistor function, which takes a resistor, makes use of some fabric functionality to basically offer up a bunch of components. Here, they're part of the LCSC database. And since we've done that, there's no enough information to do the picking. And down here, we then add a trait that there is a picker for those resistors. And it's also an example of how the interaction works. You add information, construct some data structure. Fabric uses that, but you can also get it back. So here I can say, give me all the children recursively in the module tree that are resistors, and I can inspect everything. In this case, I can add this picker value. Then I tell it to go pick parts, and then it just does it. And there is also a JLB PCB picker, which is nice, especially for all like the passives, resistors, and so on, where I don't really want to manually specify which one I choose or give it a list or something. That's fine for like specific components where no, I want to use one of these three microprocessors, but not really for resistors or so on. So I can make use of that. And we have seen that we can have modules and that we can create abstractions in that way. Here we are doing the same thing for interfaces. Interfaces, module interfaces can also have sub-interfaces, sub-components. They can have parameters, they can have traits. And here we have an electric power interface. It's very common, of course, to have a power bus, and there is an abstraction for that in Fabric. There's also other ones. You can have USB, Ethernet, differential pairs, whatever you want. And in this way, you also add additional information into the system that you can get back, that Fabric can use to help you out. For example, you can attach a voltage to a power interface, and this way Fabric can check if you have mismatching voltage, if you're connecting a 50-volt bus to a 5-volt bus. This is shown here. And you do the connection in the obvious way. And if you have a USB and the USB, and you just do connect and connect everything at once. And you still can access the electric interface inside the power interface. As I said, there's sub-interfaces in the way I've already shown. And you also get additional capabilities. If you want to add a decoupling capacitor on a power interface, you just say, well, I want a decoupling. Okay. Here I am shorting a power bus, connecting high voltage or high potential to low potential, which isn't something you want to do. And if I add a call to the ERC check function, it does alarm me to the fact that I shorted something. It also does some other checks, like if you have a resistor and then you short it, it's kind of useless, so it warns you also about something like that. And I'll show you what that looks like. You run your fabric project, and then you get an exception and tells you and there was a fault. Pretty simple. And because the system is so open and all the information is there and you can inspect it, you can also write your own checks. Okay. Then I wanted to also show an example of not just abstraction, but parameterization and automating annoying things. And the example I chose is a switch matrix, which is a matrix of switches and diodes each. And here I go, a switch matrix has a bunch of switch rows and connects it in the fashion you expect. A switch row in itself is a list of switch units, and the switch unit has interfaces, and a switch and a diode. And now in the app, I parameterize it. When it's constructed, it gets the number of the rows and the number of the columns, and then I construct my instantiate my rows, and then I can also place them, and I can tell Fabric that there is a defined PCB layout, and in a row all the units are displaced from one another, so I basically extrude them. And within a switch unit, so within the unit of the diode and the switch, I place these in relation to one another. And then for all the rows, I also say that they are displaced and each row is under another. And if I then run that, and also can unrelate to the example, but I got rid of the boilerplate that already exists, so I'm not just now just calling it. And to show you the result, I now have a little CLI tool I can run, tell it two rows, three columns, and I get back a partial PCB with the layout. And I can do the same thing, giving it 16 times 16. And now I have a big matrix. So if you want to get started with Fabric, it's been changing a lot, and it's not all too well documented right now. But you can just hop into the chat and get help that way. And you can also just look at the examples. There's also the project template utility where it generates like the empty hull of a project you can then complete. And since it is merging with Etopile, you can just choose which ones you'd rather do, which one is easier for you. And yeah, the communities are merging, and I also wanted to give a bit of an outlook on what's happening or going to happen in the next few weeks. People are used to creating schematics, looking at schematics, and schematics also, it's different than reading code. You can get a different kind of overview. Skittle has put a lot of work into creating a schematic exporter to KiCad. And so by the magic of open source, Fabric or Etopile can make use of that. And this way, if you have a colleague who wants to look at schematics, we can give a schematic to them soon. There's work being done on improving the parameter system. If you have an equation, it's pretty cool, would be pretty cool if you could specify any two and the other one is derived from that. And improving the parameter system is something that's being worked on. There's also work on a component server, which is a database of curated components, and that should also speed up picking. Do you have any questions?
Weiter offen sein? Doch, geht.
Perfect. Thanks for showing this new technique. My question is, did you already order something with it, like actually turn into a real PCB you have in hand? And how was your experience with that?
I personally have not, no.
Any other questions? A few minutes left. Yeah.
Thanks for the talk. Can you tell us something about the future plans for automated routing and how does changes to the PCB integrate with the manual steps that are required now afterwards to do the actual routing? So if I change the code again, will it overwrite my routing and how does it integrate, or is there something to merge these different states?
Okay, so it's not an immediate goal to have like a super powerful auto router, which is also hard. And since there is a bit of a coupling with KiCad, you can export it to KiCad. You can use the free router tool to help you out a bit. There is some functionality for doing routing in Fabric also, where you can like direct lines and stuff like that. But it's kind of cumbersome and you don't want to do a whole PCB in code. So you would do that in, say, KiCad. And I'm not 100% sure how well it works together, but Fabric does detect changes and tries to match components and see what changed if you do manual changes in KiCad.
Any more questions? Okay, there's one.
So did I understand that correctly, that it doesn't automatically generate everything from the PCB, so it doesn't simply pick automatically where the components would be best located and routes the lines between that?
No.
Okay.
You can do it manually. It's a bit cumbersome, and yeah.
Does there exist some software who does that, or is that a further plan somewhere?
Auto placing
and routing afterwards. So what I would see is that it would be useful mm-hmm. that I simply say I need all of these components to figure out how to place them.
There's no immediate plans for that. It's also very hard. Like the whole thing is sure. NP complete, and yeah. Yeah. If there is something that does it with KiCad, you could maybe combine the two if there's another separate tool.
Thanks.
So if I get it right, it's like you defining the netlist in Python?
You try to do a high level design as much as possible. So not necessarily specifying the nets, and this component is attached to this, or this pin is attached to this component. You try to build modules that in the end do generate a netlist, but in a way that it's easy to understand what's happening.
So what do you think where is really the matching of this approach is happening?
If I have a module, I only need to really understand, if it's a good module, the interface. So I just need to configure it, and all the internals will be done automatically. There's an example also, there's a reference design for the RP2040. I don't need to look at the data sheet. I instantiate the reference design and put it somewhere. Yeah.
So is there any kind of, can I just put in where I get some information from that? So if I'm picking stuff from the reference manual or from an application node or from the data sheet. So me and my job, we had sometimes a problem that we can't find any estimations where the colleague, which does this 10 years ago, pick up any values of?
This is kind of the idea, that you should put as much of this design process into the code and do as little in your head as possible. And yeah, which is why you also want to kind of abstract and put as much information in there. You can do calculations automatically. You can say, I want an LED, and it is an indicator LED for use inside. So Fabric has default value for like the candela, and then it will try to pick an LED in that brightness range, figure out the current going through it, and the resistor from that, and kind of has this logic packet in somewhere, so you don't need to do it.
Okay, thank you for your talk.
Any more questions? So, if that's not the case, then thank you very much once again, Ferdi Lender.